It's State of the State. I'm Brian Mackey, and the State of the State today is successive.
The long and the short of it was I think they had about 5 governors within the stretch of 8 days. It was just something mind-boggling and not ideal for governing.
Sheila Simon spent 4 years as Lieutenant Governor of Illinois. Last year, she ran for state controller but lost to popular incumbent Judy Bar Topinka. There are a number of aspects of her tenure that are unusual. She didn't actually run for the office. She was picked by Governor Pat Quinn to be his running mate after the party's elected nominee stepped aside. And she's a second-generation Light Gov. Before her father, the late Paul Simon, became a U.S. Senator, he was lieutenant governor in the state in the early 1970s. Simon, a Democrat, may be running for office again next year, but she's now back teaching law and government at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. While there, she's written an essay looking back at her office for the university's Simon Public Policy Institute, named for her father. Simon gives an overview of the job both in Illinois and around the country and answers critics who've repeatedly called for abolishing the office. Your essay is called A Warm Bucket of What? Where did that title come from?
This is from John Garner, vice president under Roosevelt, once described the vice presidency as a warm bucket of spit is the socially acceptable version of the quote. I think he spoke otherwise, according to historians, but it was certainly an assessment of the value of the vice presidency, so it seemed like a good place to start assessing the lieutenant governor's office from there as well.
And so what did you find? Illinois is in the mainstream here, right?
We are very much in the mainstream. There are 45 states that have a lieutenant governor, and the most recent change was New Jersey, who did not have a lieutenant governor and added one to their constitution, to their state, because of basically a succession crisis that they had, and they thought things would work better with a lieutenant governor.
Okay, we need to pause here because the New Jersey case was bananas. Back at the turn of the century, George Bush had just been elected president and picked then-New Jersey Governor Christine Todd Whitman to head the federal EPA. Under the state constitution, the president of the Senate, a fellow Republican, became acting governor. But he didn't run for re-election, and when his Senate term ended, it was still a week before the new governor's inauguration day. That meant the state attorney general became acting governor for a day while the new Senate sorted itself out. Then, it turned out that the Senate was evenly split between Democrats and Republicans, so that meant Senate co-presidents, and thus co-governors. One took 4 days, the other 3. If you're keeping score, New Jersey, in just over a week, had 5 governors. And remember, they were not all from the same party. So some people say, well, why not just have it go to the Secretary of State or the Attorney General in a state like Illinois, for example?
And that is the backup system that we have. When there is no lieutenant governor available, the next in line is the Attorney General in Illinois. The problem is that the Attorney General is elected to be the Attorney General, and it is not necessary that the governor and the Attorney General are of the same party. It could lead to an unintended change in the direction of the state that the people chose.
Now, you talk about some of the ways that other states select their lieutenant governors. Illinois has had a variety of different ways of doing that, and one of the more interesting ones involved your father.
Yes.
One of the interesting pairings, I should say.
Exactly. Under the old constitution, the last constitution that Illinois had before our current one, the governor and lieutenant governor were elected separately. And the only time, in fact, under that constitution that governor and lieutenant governor of differing parties were elected was when Richard Ogilvie, a Republican, was elected as governor, and my dad, a Democrat, was elected as lieutenant governor. Oddly enough, despite that political difference, they did work together fairly well. They worked out an agreement where Dad promised not to make any appointments when Governor Ogilvie was out of state and the power was turned over to the lieutenant governor under that constitution. And once they agreed on that, I think they worked together pretty successfully.
Now, as we talked about earlier, the warm bucket of spit notion, there's sort of this idea out there in the public imagination, maybe, that the job is kind of boring, that the main job is to make sure you're alive every morning and able to assume the duties of the number one if called upon. How did you find it?
I found it anything but boring. There was one lieutenant governor in the history of Illinois who resigned citing boredom issues. I think he must have been the most uncreative guy around. The lieutenant governor in Illinois has some duties that are established by executive order, some that are established by statute, and they're important roles with regards to rivers, to military bases, to development in rural Illinois. So there are important parts to the job. In addition to just being able to serve the state, to being one more set of eyes and ears for the governor, one advisor for the governor who the governor can't fire.
Well, can you, yeah, and that actually brings up one of the ideas that you had talked about that you've seen in other states for different roles that the lieutenant governor could assume, including being a cabinet official.
Yeah, this is an idea. I got to know lieutenant governors from many of the other states during my 4 years, and some states have an arrangement that seems to work out really well, takes the best use of the talent that's there in the lieutenant governor's office. My favorite example is the state of Colorado, where Joe Garcia, who had a background in higher education, serves as the chair of their higher education board in Colorado and as the lieutenant governor simultaneously. He gets one paycheck, does two jobs, Colorado saves some money, and gets the benefit of Joe's services in higher education, and he gets the benefit of demonstrating his executive abilities a little bit more, getting to know more people on the cabinet, and I think being even more ready to take over if that should be necessary.
Some people are going to hear this and think, well, of course, former Lieutenant Governor Simon, second generation Lieutenant Governor, is biased. Of course she says keep the job. It's full employment for politicians. How do you respond to that?
Well, 45 of 50 states think that this is a useful thing to do, so I think we're pretty much on track when we say that we should have a lieutenant governor. But saying that we ought to have a lieutenant governor is not the same thing as saying that the office should have a budget of any particular amount of money. I think everyone involved in governing the state of Illinois has an obligation to do it as efficiently as possible. And I think that idea of pairing up, making the lieutenant governor both lieutenant governor and filling a cabinet post gets to some savings for the state of Illinois and still maintains the value for succession.
Do you miss it?
You know, there are some parts that I miss, but I am currently teaching at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale, and I have to say, really loving that. Among other things, I'm teaching back at the law school and also teaching an introduction to American government to undergraduates, and that is a blast.
Sheila Simon was Lieutenant Governor of Illinois from 2011 through this January. She may be teaching now, but is rumored to be considering a run for state senate. She says she'll let people know her plans soon. That's it for this edition of State of the State. This is episode 11. You can listen to the rest and subscribe to the podcast at wuis.org. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.